The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Germany has now agreed to rebuild their military. And they've decided that they're going to go all out and they're going to now rebuild their military. Be careful what you wish for.
Why is that?
Well, take a look over the last two world wars. Take a look over the last two world wars with Germany. You know, there is a theory out there that Germany should not be rebuilding their military so much. And Japan is now going to rebuild their military. Just be careful what you wish for, because a lot of bad things have happened with those two countries and their military.
Yes, indeed. A lot of bad things have happened when Germany and Japan rearm. And that's exactly what's happening right now. That, of course, is Donald Trump, a podcast from last week. It had to be banned from YouTube. He made the mistake of bringing up the election steal. And so it's gone, at least from YouTube. You got to go over to Rumble to watch it. It got something like 5 million views in 24 hours, but censored, banned. It's pretty amazing. We told you a week or two ago about Germany's announcement. The world applauded the announcement. They're going to rebuild their military. And then we come to another story from just yesterday, the Associated Press. Germany to buy U.S.-made F-35s to replace aging bombers. That's the Associated Press. You're seeing the Trumpet.com's headlines from decades ago. You're seeing headlines from The Plain Truth and Herbert Armstrong's radio program from the 1960s, 70s, and 80s. You're seeing those headlines today. Tomorrow's news, today. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the Trumpet audio stream through CRN Digital Talk Radio. Channel 3 on their platform. To get to the live video stream, however, you have to go to our very own website, where it's not banned and it's not brought to you by Pfizer either. You go to thetrumpet.com or thetrumpet.com/live, and you can see the live stream at 11 a.m. Central Time Zone here in the United States. And of course, you can get to all of the podcasts that are posted after the fact as well if you'd like to catch up and listen on demand. So as I say, before we get to this article by the Associated Press, I just want to take, we went through some of these clips from Herbert Armstrong on that show just a couple of weeks ago. Germany's big announcement, they've got to rearm. Well, look at Putin. Putin's worse than Hitler, we're now told on MSNBC. So Germany has to rearm. And the world supports this. Europe, the continent of Europe supports this. The EU, NATO, and the United States. Germany's about to buy 30 F-35s from the United States. How does this happen? Donald Trump said there in that interview, there's a theory out there that says Germany shouldn't rearm. Yeah, that was established right after World War II. When the United States and Britain said, no way are they ever going to rearm. Now, we're helping them. This is not just rebuilding Europe with the Marshall Plan. This is giving them nukes and F-35s. And as Herbert Armstrong said so many years ago, they're going to take those weapons and use them not on Putin, on the United States and Britain. Listen to this from 1982. Here's Herbert Armstrong, clip 8.
Now, one of the great things that is urging Europe on, and perhaps the greatest thing that will cause them to hurry and get together on this, is their fear of what's going on in the Kremlin and the Soviet Union. And Andropov is frightening them. And that is going to rush them. They are losing confidence in the United States as having a military umbrella over them to protect them. And they want their own military force to protect themselves. That's the way they feel over there. Now, that is a chief incentive to unite them, and that is taking place.
That was 40 years ago. You could take that statement and play it on a live rate. Well, we just played it on our show. But it's as if he said it yesterday. 40 years ago. Europe sees that they can't rely on the United States anymore for protection. They get concerned or worried about Russia. And, of course, there's even more nefarious activity and thinking than that. They're using this as a pretext. They're using this as an excuse to build it. Germany cleared the way for Putin's march. So Putin gets Ukraine, or a chunk of it, and Germany gets to rearm. These are the back-channel deals that are going on. But just looking at the bigger picture, you take that soundbite, and it's happening today. It's happening now. Just change out some of the names that Mr. Armstrong refers to. History is repeating itself. It's all playing out exactly the way Herbert Armstrong prophesied. This was his signature prophecy, after all. The seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. This article from the Associated Press, it says, I mean, you read this alongside, and I've got so many I can't get to all of them, but you read this alongside what we've been saying at the trumpet, in the plain truth for decades, and I mean, we've said, we have a popular article from back in, what was it, 2014, I think it was. No, 2009, Europe's nuclear secret. Talks about how that America's got nuclear bombs all over the continent of Europe. And as my father said there, they're going to use those nuclear bombs on us. They're going to use our weapons on us. And now, as of this big announcement yesterday, now we come to find out that they're going to use our planes to drop those bombs. How about that? I'll get to the prophecy in Ezekiel 23 in just a moment. The double cross. It talks about us reaching out to our lovers. I mean, these are our allies after all. Never mind what Donald Trump says that, hey, historically, when they rearm, I mean, that's a dangerous thing for the world. We're past that. We're so far beyond that. Just give Germany the F-35s. Just give Germany our nuclear bombs. They're there all across Europe. Richard sent me a link to a story today, these activists going into one of these bases in Belgium where these nuclear bombs are stored. They just climb the fence and they go right into the storage facilities. And there's nobody there. One guy, he shows up a little bit later with a rifle and no ammunition. He's there guarding the nuclear bombs. These are videos making the rounds on YouTube. Here's all these weapons. Pretty much, they're not even secured. And now you've got Putin marching in Ukraine. Germany announces, yep, $100 billion or euros, we're going to rebuild the military. And now it's every year from here on out, 2% of GDP. And the world claps and cheers. Germany's building a military again, just like they did in the 1930s. And now here comes the United States. You talk about just insane foreign policy. Look at what's happening. Joe Obama is giving rise to another prophecy in your Bible, the times of the Gentiles. This fake administration is not only helping Germany, it's helping Putin, it's helping China, it's helping Iran, it's helping Venezuela. It's helping every nation except the United States. Germany said Monday that it will replace some of its aging Tornado bomber jets with U.S.-made F-35A Lightning II aircraft capable of carrying nuclear weapons. Wow! These are powerful jets. Fighter aircraft carrying nuclear weapons. Another big announcement just yesterday. It says here, Germany's Air Force commander, Ingo Gerhardt, said the current war in Ukraine made it necessary to choose Lockheed Martin's F-35s. Previously, the government had considered replacing the Luftwaffe's Tornados with a mix of different U.S. and European-made aircraft. There can be only one answer to Russian President Vladimir Putin's aggression, said Gerhards. Unity in NATO and a credible deterrent. This in particular means there is no alternative but to choose the F-35s. We've got to get the very best. We've got to have a deterrent. And here, you know, we've talked so many years, so many decades about this German rearmament. And, you know, if you think about them producing all this in their own factories, and just that alone would take some time. But no, here comes the United States to the rescue. Here, you can have these 30 F-35s. We've got them made already for you. And, of course, Joe Biden, he's all for it. Joe Obama is. Barack Obama, I mean. Lockheed Martin, I mean, the defense industry. Oh, they love this, too. This is big bucks for defense. This is big bucks for the American manufacturers that are producing weapons of mass destruction and then handing them over to Germany. It says here the German military does not have nuclear weapons of its own, but as part of the system of nuclear deterrence developed during the Cold War, it maintained bombers capable of carrying U.S. atomic bombs, some of which are stationed in Germany. Yeah, they're in Germany, they're in Belgium, they're all across the continent. And as I say, they're not all very, very, they're not in a secured facility, some of them. So what's to stop Germany from just helping themselves to these nuclear bombs? They're about to get 30 aircraft that can deliver. And then all, when have you heard all of this talk about World War III? I'll come to some of those sound bites later. Joe Biden's talking about it. His handlers are talking about it. Donald Trump in that interview last week. I mean, everybody's. It was supposed to be Donald Trump triggering World War III, wasn't it? Well, Joe Obama, they currently occupy the White House, and you've got talk all over the world about a nuclear World War III. These are frightening times. If you didn't know what your Bible prophesies, thankfully we're guided by the sure word of Bible prophecy. These are electrifying prophecies, being fulfilled, sobering prophecies, prophecies that fulfilled prophecies that should be changing your life, life-changing events. Hopefully they are. Because there's quite a lot in the Bible too about those who hear the message, maybe they like it, but they still carry on in their sins. They don't make any changes. They don't come out of this world. They just love the world too much. I read in the forum this morning, 1 John 2 and verse 15. If you love this world and the ways of this world, the love of God cannot dwell in you. There's no room for the love of God. It can't be both. It's one or the other. Love the world or love God and His laws and His commandments. And you read through the book of Deuteronomy, and there's God through Moses telling the people of Israel, look, I'm giving you these laws and these statutes and these judgments. Now abide by them. Live according to these laws. And if you do, you'll have life and you'll have prosperity and you'll have strength. This is where your real strength resides. It always gets back to law keeping. It always gets back to obedience to the Ten Commandments. This is the first thing that those Laodicean Christians, those Laodicean ministers wanted to throw out the window. Oh, we got to get rid of God's law. We don't want to be told what to do or how to live. We want to do what we want to do. And they did. And look at what happened to the Worldwide Church of God. Look at what happened to Ambassador College. And yet, when you get back in step with God's law, look at how God blesses that endeavor. Look at the history of the PCG, the Philadelphia Church of God. Look at the history of Herbert W. Armstrong College. The German military doesn't. Well, I read that quote. Let me give you a clip from Herbert Armstrong. This article makes the point that because of the NATO alliance, Germany has access to all these nuclear bombs, and now they're about to get 30 F-35s, 30 planes, 30 aircraft that can deliver nuclear weapons. Here's Mr. Armstrong from 1978, Clippy 11.
Now, a united Europe will bring about a power, a superpower, because the nations of Europe want to unite. They just don't know how to do it. And it's possible that the now present Pope may, or a future one, however it may be, extend his good offices to help them bring about what they would like to have in Europe, not only economical cooperation, but an absolute political union with a common currency and a common military force. There is a great deal of nuclear power and weapons over there belonging to the United States, but which they could easily just take over. And they could become a stronger power than either the United States or Russia.
1978. That's amazing. How did he know? How did he know? Some 40, 45 years ago. He's talking about all those nuclear bombs. That they could just easily take them over. They want to be united, Europe. This is before the wall even came down in Germany. This is 1978. The wall didn't come down until the late 80s. The Soviet Union, it didn't dissolve until the early 1990s. You could listen to that in 1978 and say, what is this man thinking? In what universe is he living? This is preposterous. But now look at today. Look at where we are today. Europe has united. They've got the common currency. Now they've just needed the military, and now it's happening. Can you believe this? My father wrote, this is in 2014. He said in December 2009, an article by Time Magazine, what to do about Europe's secret nukes? It quotes the article, 20 years after the fall of the Berlin Wall, Dutch, Belgian, and Italian and German pilots remain ready to engage in nuclear war. That was from Time Magazine. And then my father says, that's right. Germany and Italy, America's bitter enemies in World War II, are ready to wage nuclear war with bombs that belong to the United States. We want to trust Germany, but history screams that we shouldn't. Yet not only do we equip the Germans with our weapons, but we train their air force. This is my father's piece from 2014. This is 8 years old. Not only do we equip the Germans with our weapons, we train their air force. It says what the U.S. is doing is absolutely condemned by the Bible. Why? Because it is trusting other nations other than trusting God. Yeah, we can trust Germany. We can trust them with our nukes. We can trust them with our F-35s. After all, we'll make some good money from this transaction. What has happened to Manasseh? It wasn't that long ago. I'm giving you quotes from the 70s and 80s, sound bites from Herbert Armstrong. It wasn't that long before that, those sound bites, that the United States and Britain, they came out of World War II and they said, look, we'll help you rebuild your cities, but you are not going to rearm. No way is that ever happening again. And now here we are, 75, 76, 77 years later, and Germany's buying F-35s from the United States. Listen to this from Herbert Armstrong back in the 1980s, clip 12.
You watch it happen, my friends. Now that's prophecy. That is the word of God. We didn't gain anything by making an ally out of Russia, now did we? Just look into past history. You see if we're going to gain anything by trying to build up the United States of Europe. You see if we're not building a Frankenstein that's going to turn on us and destroy us. Most of you will live to see it. You remember that I told you and that I spoke by the authority of Jesus Christ.
You'll remember that I told you. You think of that verse at the end of Ezekiel 33. When all these things come to pass, then they'll know. Then they'll know that that man there was a prophet and that there was another prophet who followed in his steps. Then they'll know when all of these prophecies are fulfilled. How could he have known? Listen to this from the same Associated Press piece. It says, the opposition left party criticized the decision to purchase almost three dozen F-35s for Germany's military. We reject arming the Bundeswehr with new nuclear-capable combat jets, said Ali al-Dalami, the party's deputy defense spokesman. He warned that equipping German pilots to drop U.S. atomic bombs could fuel the risk of nuclear war in Europe. That's a warning coming from the left in Germany, coming from a politician saying, look, if Germany nukes up, the chances of nuclear war in Europe, they skyrocket. Well, he doesn't realize that that nuclear war is going to spill over into nations all over the earth, including the United States and Canada and the UK and Australia and New Zealand and South Africa. But at least he was sounding the alarm. Hey, I don't know about this. There's someone, at least, in the German parliament, in the Reichstag. At least there's someone saying something similar to what Donald Trump said. It used to be a lot of people would have said that. But not now. It's Putin. Putin. We gotta rebuild the military because of Putin. And the world says to Germany, yes, yes you do. And we're happy to help. Nearly three dozen F-35s. Listen again to Herbert Armstrong from 1982, clip 9.
Now, we're a long ways from Russia, and we are fearing the Soviet Union. The two great powers in the world are the Soviet Union and the United States. The Union of Soviet Socialist Republics and the United States. And we are really fearing Russia. Let me say right here, I know of no prophecy in the Bible that speaks specifically of any war between Russia and the United States. And I've been saying for years and years that is not the way that the World War III will come. However, let me say that the resurrection of this so-called Holy Roman Empire that existed from 554 on to 1814 in Europe will trigger World War III.
Here again, if you just change a little bit of the terminology, he's talking about the Soviet Union before the Soviet Union collapsed, of course. But he's saying there, this is from 1982, look, we're worried about Russia when we should be worried about Germany. And I come to you today on this show with the same message. The same message. Nearly three dozen F-35s going to Germany, the Bundeswehr. The Associated Press piece, it says, German Chancellor Olaf Scholz announced last month that the country would create a special fund of 100 billion euros to bolster its armed forces and raise defense spending above 2% of gross domestic product, a measure on which it had long lagged behind other NATO countries on. Donald Trump, remember, he had his hand in telling Germany, look, you've got to up the contribution you're making to NATO. And you notice that in this article, it's not even really talking much about NATO forces. It's just Germany. And now Germany's getting the fighter jets from the United States, equipped to drop nuclear bombs. It's amazing. Here, Germany's largely responsible for enabling Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And then they take that action. They take that event and use it. They use it to rearm. They use it as an excuse to rearm. Well, we've got to. We need to defend ourselves. There needs to be a deterrent. And oh, by the way, we're all united. We're in NATO. We rise in defense of anyone that's attacked in that NATO alliance. Ukraine's not in there, but they're close. They rub right up against that NATO alliance. And so we've got to do this. It's a have to. This is from Foreign Affairs. I mean, this is a pretty prestigious think tank, Foreign Affairs, and its publication. It says here, the return of Pax Americana Putin's war, it puts a question mark there. Putin's war is fortifying the Democratic alliance. This is what passes for really good commentary in the West today. Why, this is really bringing the NATO alliance more strongly together. And of course, America's right at the center. And Germany and Italy and all these nations in Europe, they just love America. They're allies. That's the angle that the Foreign Affairs publication takes on this. They know nothing about the prophesied double cross. They think that because NATO exists, it just means that everybody in NATO, Italy, Turkey's in NATO, Germany, because NATO exists, all of those countries in NATO, they love the United States. Going back to that soundbite I played earlier, Germany's moving forward with its quest to rebuild its military because they don't trust the United States. Because they despise the United States. Because they want the United States out of NATO, out of the European Union. That's the truth. You're not going to get it at Foreign Affairs. Here's Foreign Affairs saying, hey, this is great. Putin's bringing us all together. Putin's unifying Europe around the United States. Let's just see how long that forecast holds. And here again, how much farther into the future? A few months, a year, 2 years? Are we going to be able to look back and say, he was right. He was right. And the trumpet, it truly was tomorrow's news today. Ezekiel 23, in verse 9, it says, wherefore I have delivered her into the hand of her lovers. We're picking it up in the middle of the prophecy here, but go back after this show and pick it up from the start of chapter 23. This chapter about this double cross, about America trusting her lovers. It says, God does. Wherefore I have delivered her into the hand of her lovers, into the hand of the Assyrians, upon whom she doted. God's just going to deliver us right into the hands of the Assyrians. That's Germany today. There's other literature you could request. Germany and the Holy Roman Empire. If you don't have copies of that, or a copy of it, just call our operators, 1-866-930-3024. 3024. This is from our Nahum booklet. It says here, America, Britain, and the Jewish nation of Israel almost grovel before Germany today. Britain tried that approach before World War II with Hitler. That approach will bring about our destruction. See, they're carrying on over there at MSNBC saying that Putin is, he's not just Hitler, he's worse than Hitler. I mean, they're revising the history about Hitler. Hitler didn't kill any Germans? Are you serious? Is there a commentator on MSNBC who actually said that? Answer, yes, there is. Hitler was, Putin is worse because Putin will persecute his own people. Even Hitler wouldn't do that. I mean, the commentary, the people that are commenting on events of today, and then this AP story from yesterday. How many people do you think are covering this today? No, if you're not listening to this program, you're probably hearing zero about Germany buying F-35s from the United States that can deliver nuclear weapons, that happen to be sitting on German soil at this moment. You're going to be hearing that on MSNBC? No. It says here, instead of listening to God, they will try to deal with this vile leader who devises evil against God. Satan will inspire this man to send a flood, probably an army, after God's own people. This is when God has to deliver his people to a place of protection. Habakkuk, Nahum, these are passages that talk about a mind change that happens suddenly. Right now they're still like lovers. They're still like allies. We're helping each other. We've got to defend ourselves against big bad Putin. And we're totally distracted from the real significance of these events prophetically. verse 11, here in Ezekiel 23, it says, "And when her sister Aholibah saw this, she was more corrupt in her inordinate love than she and in her whoredoms, more than her sister in her whoredoms." Talks about the two sisters earlier on in the chapter. It says that she doted upon the Assyrians, her neighbors, captains and rulers, clothed most gorgeously, horsemen riding upon horses, all of them desirable young men. I told you yesterday about this alliance between Germany and Judah, little Israel in the Middle East. Germany behind these negotiations. Yeah, you take care of trying to bring peace to the Ukraine. Try to bring peace between Ukraine and Russia. Judah is prophesied to be even more in bed with Assyria than the United States and Britain. But all of them are lovers. Lovers of Germany. Nahum 3, in verse 1, it says, "Woe to the bloody city. It's all full of lies and robbery. The prey departs not." The Companion Bible, it translates bloody city as a city of great bloodshed. Just bloody throughout. It's talking about, again, the history of Assyria. The booklet, the Nahum booklet, it says, "Historians know the Assyrians have a bloody history, and modern historians know Germany has had an unparalleled history of causing bloody wars." Just stop for a moment. It's significant what's happening in Ukraine, okay, but just stop for a moment and think about Germany's history of starting bloody wars. It's not just Vladimir Putin. It says here, "What most historians don't know is that the Assyrians and the Germans are the same people. However, this fact is easy to understand. If you know secular history, Bible history, and Bible prophecy," it says, "but even secular history alone should give you that understanding." You see, even secular history alone, just the early 1940s alone should teach us that there is no way we're ever going, I don't care how nice the leader looks. He can sound like an angel of light. He could say it's just purely for defensive purposes, but there is no way that we're going to give control of nuclear bombs and now the aircraft to deliver them to Germany. It's just not going to happen. Nobody's close to that except for Donald Trump. You better be careful what you wish for, as he said last week. Well, but now that video's off YouTube. Can't get to that video. It's too dangerous. It's too dangerous to speak this truth. Listen to what he said in that interview from last week, clip 5.
"And I think if Putin is successful in taking over Ukraine, depending on what your definition of success is, because, you know, potentially millions of people are going to die, and it could lead to mm-hmm. Third World War, mm-hmm. by the way. It could lead to a Third World War." Mm-hmm. I think what is going on now is a direct reflection on the Obama administration, because it should have never happened.
And he's right about this. And it's not, he actually calls out the Obama administration. That's right, right there at the end. They've facilitated this. And now we're in the third term of Obama. And these are people leading us into world war. And now you're starting to hear all kinds of people talk about it. Some of it for different reasons. I'm sure there's always the element of scaremongering. It's a wonderful, wonderful distraction away from all the problems in the United States that Joe Obama won't deal with. There's a lot of people in the White House. There's a lot of people in Washington, D.C. that love this. Oh, they love it. They love it when Putin dominates the headlines. They love sending F-35s to Germany. Here's more from last week, clip 3.
"But we have a great military, but we look incompetent. And it's a sad day for our military, and it's a sad day for our country. And yes, you do have a chance of World War III mm-hmm. because our country is not respected any longer."
Here again, World War III. Look at the disastrous pullout of Afghanistan. Do you think Germany's looking at that and saying, yeah, I think what we want the United States leading the way as we resist against Putin's advance? Of course not. They look at Afghanistan and say, we don't have the United States anymore. The United States doesn't have our back anymore. We need our own military. And we've got plenty of power right here in Europe. We've got plenty of prosperity. We've got plenty of financing. And we've got, when you add all the countries together, what was that Mr. Armstrong clip that talks about the hundreds of millions? Here it is, clip 10.
Gradually and now faster and faster, a new power is being developed from underneath the surface, a new world power which the public now least suspects, which the world does not yet see, doesn't realize, doesn't dream is coming, but it is developing just as prophesied in Europe, a resurrected Roman Empire that will combine some 350 millions of population, a power so mighty that our Western peoples will stand aghast when it flashes suddenly into full being. Yes, your Bible says that the world will be startled.
350 millions, he said. That was back in 1982, I think it was. It's upwards of 400, 500 million today. You pull all of those European nations together, they've got the numbers, they've got the nukes, they've got the leadership from Germany, they've got one currency. Yes, the Bible says it's a mixture of miry clay and iron. So it is a challenge to bring all of these nations together. In the end, it'll be 10. 10 kings that have one mind. They're going to rally around Germany. The United States is not going to be a part of it. The United States, when you get into prophecies like Daniel 11 and verse 40, the United States is not mentioned. Hosea 5 speaks of the U.S., Britain, and Judah all falling together suddenly. I mean, it's not even a matter of building the factories so that we can then build our own F-35s. It's just, hey, we got the money. Let's buy them from the United States. This is the biggest development by far these past few weeks, as Vladimir Putin has marched into Ukraine. But then you look also at the kings of the East. Putin, of course, is the Prince of Rosh, the prophesied Prince of Rosh. And he's going in because he knows China has his back. I mentioned that briefly on yesterday's show. Listen to this clip again from Donald Trump's interview last week, clip 6.
The incompetence of Obama and the incompetence of Biden mm-hmm. has forced Russia, think of it, Russia and China, from the time you're young people, you read, that's the one you don't want to ever force. And they were natural enemies because of their border. You never want to force them together. They've been forced together. And now you add Iran because they're in the group too. And that's very lethal.
That's amazing. That the United States is responsible really for driving Russia closer together with China. We're as Mr. Armstrong said about the seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire, he said, we, the nations of Israel, we're building this Frankenstein monster that's going to turn on us. And then we're also largely responsible for pushing Russia and China together. And that's significant. That's the kings of the East. Putin's going to head up that alliance. But here you're talking about billions of people. And China's already got its military where it needs to be. You combine that with Russia. And after the Israelite nations are taken out, I mean, it continues on through the tribulation. Mass carnage spreads all over the earth. No one's going to be able to run from this. No one will be able to escape from this. Except for God's people. Can you see why Jesus said, hey, you better watch and pray always? It's in Luke 21. Read it. Jesus said, watch and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape. We're going to need to escape what's coming. That's what your Bible says, Old Testament and New. One last clip from Herbert Armstrong. This is back in 1984, clip 13.
But I believe that some event is going to happen suddenly, just like out of the blue sky, that is going to shock the whole world, and is going to cause the nations of Europe to realize they must unite. Well, he said he believed that would have to happen too. Well, now I think I can see what may be the very event that is going to trigger it, and that is the economic situation in the world.
He's talking about events. That's back in 1984, that sudden events that would really bring these alliances together. The kings of the East in Asia, the king of the North, the ten kings in Europe, the seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire in Europe. And then we're seeing, together with all this, the demise, the breathtaking, stunning demise of our own nations. Look at the destruction. Look at the decline of our nations in just the past year and a half. Mr. Armstrong said the economy, if you look at the world economy, I mean, there's a lot of nations right now scrambling. They're forming these alliances so that they can get their energy, their gas, their fuel, so that they can get their supply chains opened up, so that they're not putting their trust in nations that are enemy nations, that are traditionally enemy nations. Only Israel reaches out to the lovers who hate them. Venezuela? Really? The United States is going to go to Venezuela and Saudi Arabia and Iran to try to give us some relief at the pump? Only the Israelite nations, the foolish Israelite nations, looking to the lovers, looking just like in the 1930s. It's like my father said in that quote that I gave to you. Even secular history teaches us the lessons that we need to navigate our way through what's happening currently. But the problem is, the leaders in Israel today, they're not grounded in that history, and they certainly don't look to the sure word of Bible prophecy. Any of the literature I mentioned, this Holy Roman Empire book, the other one, the smaller booklet on the Holy Roman Empire and prophecy, you've got He Was Right by our editors and our staff, pulling together all of these prophecies that Mr. Armstrong was right about, because he based it on the sure word of God's truth, God's prophecy. If you don't have any of those, request your free copies today. Call 1-866-930-3024. You're listening to Stephen Fleury. This is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Herbert W. Armstrong described Germany's devastating destruction in 1944 and 1945 as one of the worst beatings ever administered to any nation. Western leaders from both sides of the Atlantic assured our peoples that a demoralized Germany would never again be able to disturb the peace of the world. But while Washington and London were promising that German militarism would never again be able to strike, Herbert Armstrong was warning the world of one final resurrection of a German-led Holy Roman Empire. Only a very few listened. Mr. Armstrong said German industry and the German people's willpower and determination to work, produce, and organize was the very heart and lifeblood of all Europe.
The nations of Europe want to unite. They just don't know how to do it.
He said the prostrate body of Europe could not come back without the leadership of a revived and vigorous Germany.
And the economic and the military body that is to rise up and to restore the Roman Empire, the thing that we least suspect here in the United States, it cannot rise up without its heart. And its heart is in Germany.
The world is witnessing history repeat itself one more time. Request Germany and the Holy Roman Empire for more on this important subject.
The Trumpet Daily.
I mentioned this video we watch every second year in our doctrines class here at God's College. And it's about these worldwide Church of God leaders and some of the lay members that are giving their testimony on just how wonderful it was to do away with the teachings of Herbert Armstrong and to stop all of his educational programs, including his TV show and the Plain Truth magazine, and to sell off all of those goods. Remember, the Bible says in Revelation 3 that the Laodiceans are rich and increased with goods. But when it comes to spiritual wealth, they're poverty-stricken. And they can go on and on as long as they want about how wonderful and miraculous that transformation was. But just look at the trail of destruction. They're not better off spiritually because they rejected God's truth. They're impoverished. They're suffering. They're unhappy. And so many people in this world are. Even ones that are steeped in religious traditions. We've got religious traditions all around us. And so much suffering and violence. This is Jude 3. It says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints." Earnestly contend for it. You can go into the Jude booklet and see how that this is really military language. And God is telling us, you've got to fight for the truth. The truth about those people in that video we watched is that they're bragging about just how easy it is now that they've surrendered to the devil. They've given in. They've capitulated. They've surrendered, and they don't realize they're in captivity, but they've gone back into the world. They've immersed themselves back into the world. They didn't fight for the truth. They made it sound like they were so courageous by just doing away with one doctrine after another. What a surrender. What a shameful and embarrassing surrender. Notice this in Ezra 4. Some pretty exciting history here. This time period where they were rebuilding Jerusalem and the temple. Verse 1 of Ezra 4 says, "Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the eternal God of Israel, then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said to them, 'Let us build with you, for we seek your God as you do, and we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Asher, which brought us up here.'" So these people, some of them were claiming, these were adversaries, but they came in with smooth things. They came in sounding like angels of light. And what do you suppose Ezra and Zerubbabel and them, what do you suppose they did? How did they react? How did they respond? It says, "But Zerubbabel and Joshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, 'You have nothing to do with us to build an house unto the eternal our God, but we ourselves together will build unto the eternal God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, has commanded us.'" It says, "Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building." See, they showed their true colors when Zerubbabel and Joshua stood up to them and said, "No, you're imposters. You're insurrectionists. You're trying to infiltrate the church of God, so to speak. You're trying to work your way in surreptitiously so that you can work your powers of deception and lawlessness." And so they slammed the door on the devil and his influence. And that's the way we have to be today. If someone comes to your door and they don't bring you this truth, they don't bring you the true gospel. It says over in 2 John, just slam the door shut on them. Don't let them in. Don't entertain their rebellious ideas and attitudes. Zerubbabel said, "You don't have anything to do with God's work." That sounds a little harsh. I mean, today we're told, even by religions, well, look, you want to sit down and accommodate anyone. You don't want to be judgmental. You want to be tolerant. Well, that's not exactly what Zerubbabel did. He didn't tolerate these rebels. He said, you don't have any part in this work. This is our job. And then they went about trying to weaken the hands of those that were building for God. This is from the Ezra Nehemiah booklet. It says, look at what Satan has done to the Laodiceans. They're doing a great job of relaxing. They have also lost courage in guarding true doctrine. It takes a lot of courage to build and maintain God's temple in this world. God's true spiritual temple is founded on doctrine. God's ministers must make sure that all members of the local congregations are striving to live by church doctrine and obey God's laws. This, like I said in the first segment, this is what makes us strong and courageous and bold and happy and peaceful and contented. When we're abiding by the laws and the commandments of God, when we're obeying God, you see, rebels are going to come along and try to slow down our efforts. It's always a fight. It's always a spiritual struggle to hold on to the truth of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says to hold fast. Hold fast to God's truth. Prove all things and hold fast to it. If you've proved the truth, so many of those Laodicean ministers, they came along into the church back in the 1950s and 60s and 70s and 80s. And they, presumably, they proved the truth. All those blue books that Herbert Armstrong used to produce on basic doctrines of the church. And in every case, he pretty much spells it out. This is what's commonly accepted in the world and its churches. And here's what your Bible says about salvation, about the Holy Spirit, about what it means to be born again, and on and on and on the study goes. Repentance, repentance from dead works, faith, the faith of Christ. All those wonderful subjects, inspired by God, written up in plain speaking, plain writing, the plain truth. They came into the church of God. They proved all of those truths for themselves. And then Mr. Armstrong dies in 1986. And what do they all do? Well, they just go back into the worldly ways. They just go back into the ways of the worldly churches. They just go back into the doctrines that are just so common. In all the denominations, they've got their disagreements, obviously. It's Satan's system, so there's hundreds and hundreds of different denominations. But for the most part, the beliefs, the doctrinal beliefs, are about the same. They all celebrate the pagan traditions. They're immersed into it because it's the way of this world. God says when you come into the church, you're going to have to really hold on to and fight for the truth, or else you'll lose it. It'll slip away. Notice what Paul said in Galatians 1 and verse 6. This is early on in the first century church. He says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. This was right at the outset of the true church. And there were people in the true church that were already turning to another gospel. There were other gospels out there that weren't the true gospel that Jesus Christ preached. There were some on this video that talked about how that we finally learned after Mr. Armstrong died that the gospel just revolved around preaching Jesus. It was a gospel about Jesus. Is that what Jesus preached? Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. I'm just here to reflect the Father's will, to do what the Father says. He didn't put the focus on himself. He came and declared the Father, John 1 and verse 18. That's the true gospel. And yet Paul, he's marveling here. He's beside himself. How could you turn away from the truth so fast? If you don't fight for it, this is what happens. I'm ending at the right time. You're listening to Stephen Fleury. This is The Trumpet Daily. Send us an email, td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.